welcome to another amazing Holy Ghost Spirit-led infused episode of the Faith, Fire, and Flow podcast show, the show which brings you all of the most incredible entrepreneurs, creators, leaders, and those who are just saying yes to what life is meant to be about, the way it's meant to be, and who are here to share with you their wisdom, tools, techniques, tips, and just straight up, what even is that, spirit-led downloads that are going to help you in your business, in your money, in your life. Let's go. Buckle up. It's happening.
Hello, welcome to Bible Study. Our title today for Bible Study is Ever Blessed, Ever Prosperous in His Rest. Ever blessed, ever prosperous in His rest. In fact, we could extend on that, which we won't because that's a long enough title. But if we did, we would call it She, says He here, but we'll go with She. She is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. Part of the scripture, actually. So, I didn't write down my scriptures, but that's okay. I've got notes on the laptop today. All right, welcome if you are watching online. If you are here on replay, leave a comment. Let me know that you are there. Oh my gosh. No coughing. And we're going to just jump straight in. So I'm just saying hi over here. You know how it works. I'm going to not look here too much, but I'll look a little bit. But I'm glad you're here. We were just saying that we're having a slightly smaller numbers here at Bible Study so far this year because a few different people have got a few different things going on. But we always have, honestly, the best conversations and prayer time here afterwards. So it really is a gift. And also, we get to do it online as well. So that is a gift, including for me, I mean. I assume it's a gift for you. All right. So we're going to read from Psalm, and it's the first Psalm. So from Psalms, the first Psalms, which is Psalm chapter 1, because it's the first one. Oh my gosh, we're off to a start. Yeah, the first one. I think it's chapter 1. Yeah. So you can pull up your scripture if you like, and you can go over to Psalms chapter 1. Excuse me, I wasn't coughing before. I don't know where I am now. So we trust it will go away. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to read the entirety of Psalms 1 because it's a short... it's a short chapter. Not that it would stop me reading a long chapter. I've been known to do it. And then I start when I read like the whole chapter, like the time we did the Bible study on Psalms 25. And that's not super long. Yeah. But then I start to question it in my head as I'm reading it. And yeah. I'm like, people probably find my tonality boring. And I start having this whole separate conversation in my head while I'm just like gracefully reading the scripture and appearing as though I've got it all together. So I am giving people a chance to jump on here, but we're going to read the entirety of Psalms 1. And now, before I do read that, though, actually, I want to mention that initially I felt like the core part of our conversation for tonight for the study is based on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Hebrews 4:11, so you can write that one down. And that's the scripture that says, and this is New King James Version, as usual, says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." So it's a scripture on being diligent to enter the rest of God. It's referencing eternal rest. We're going to come back to that scripture. Referencing eternal rest, but has to do with today. And in another translation, it talks about striving. It says, strive to enter his rest. Strive to enter his rest so that you don't fall away due to the same example of disobedience. So we're gonna kind of circle back to that. I actually really love that the word strive is there. I love it because for myself and pretty much all the women I know, unless it's like someone I randomly encounter on the street, and even then God seems to just bring the right people along, pretty much all the women I know are women who have been very self-sufficient in their lives in different ways, who have worked too much, tried to hold everything together, thought that their value was based on their efforts, on their striving. And so I actually love that the word strive is in the Bible in terms of it's an instruction of something you should do, but it's a gateway to rest and to grace. And so we're going to come back to that. I'm just kind of pinning that thought there. So originally I felt like the Bible study is purely just building off that verse, or that's kind of the dominant theme. And then as... you know, happens. I meandered my way over a period of several days since then, through various things, and then it just kind of, the various parts of the word, I mean, and then it just comes together in a different way to what I sort of initially thought. So we're going to now read Psalms chapter 1, and I'm actually going to read, and that's why I've got it on the laptop, although I do have a Passion Bible at home, but I'm going to read from the Passion Translation for this particular psalm, because I have a Passion Translation at home amongst other Bibles, and I don't read it super often, and for whatever reason, when I was reading this psalm, I just felt like, oh, I'm going to read it in that Bible today and in a few other translations as well, and I just loved the wording. So I'm going to read this, and this is Psalm 1:1-6. What delight comes to the one who follows God's ways. He won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor will he be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His passion is to remain true to the word of I am, meditating day and night on the true revelation of light. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss. The brooks of bliss. I feel like that's like the days of our lives. It's going to be a soap opera. The brooks of bliss. New from David. Actually, I don't know for sure that David wrote Psalm 1. Bearing fruit in every season of life. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. For some reason, that reminds me of the same kind of like poetical lyrics of like love is patient, love is kind, never fails. So he's never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. But how different are the wicked? They are like chaff. Is that how you say that word? Like the leftover bits of wheat. I know what chaff is. They are like chaff blown away by the wind. The wicked will not endure the day of judgment, for God will not defend them. Nothing they do will succeed or endure for long, for they have no part with those who walk in truth. But how different it is for the righteous. The Lord embraces their paths as they move forward, while the way of the wicked leads only to doom. The way of the wicked leads only to doom. I think this is about verse 3. This one that I've looked up here doesn't list the verses one by one, but I love where it says, his passion is to remain true to the word of I am, which for anyone who doesn't know the reference, Jesus is I am. So when it says his passion is to remain true to the words of, to the word of I am, his passion is to remain true to the word of God, to the word of Jesus, to the scripture, all of the above. I feel like we're going to read it from the New King James as well, because it's just a beautiful psalm to receive into your spirit. Lord, we just thank you that you impart your word into each of us, that you just let each person hear, receive, have lit up in their spirit the bit that is for them. So this is New King James. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brooks of bliss. In the Passion Translation, it is quite passionate, isn't it? That brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does. Whatever he does. Not part of what he does. Not if he thinks about it long enough. Not if he has a conversation with all of his best friends, he or she. But whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, you guys know I love to read the New King James. This is my backup New King James. Sounds good. My other one is at home right now. Oh, no, it's not. It's over there. But anyhow, I wanted to read the Passion one just because I really liked reading it. And also, in particular, I really love verse 6, which speaks of the Lord embraces their paths as they move forward. Well, the way of the wicked leads to doom. Now, we're not going to discuss the wicked too much tonight because it's not us. If it is you and you've not made a decision to be righteous, you could even do that this evening. But we're not going to... Well, it might be some of us. It's not us. It's not those of you who I can see here visibly. But as far as the replay, I can't speak for all of you. but we're not going to speak too much of the wicked. We'll speak of the righteous, and we'll speak of being ever blessed and ever prosperous. And we'll speak of whatever God leads us to speak. So let's really pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time tonight. We just always thank you for this time, Lord, that regardless of whether there's two people here or a room full of people here in the warehouse, that this message is going out to exactly who you would have it go out to across the internet. And Lord, I thank you that this is your Bible study. This is not Kat's Bible study. This is not any of our Bible study here. This is not a Gold Coast Women's Bible study. It might be all of those things, but Lord, we just thank you that it's your Bible study. And we thank you that you lead and guide and instruct. We thank you that you put a message on my heart, that you do put your words in my mouth for this training and that this training study, and that this is entirely led by your Spirit, Lord. Lord, I just pray that anything that's not of you would fall to the ground in Jesus' name. Amen. And that you would impart by your Spirit exactly what you would have imparted to each person here. That your words will go out like a missile, that they'll shoot straight to the core of this person watching, listening, receiving, and that there'll be a revelation and illumination. Lord, we just pray and we thank you in advance for revelation, for illumination, for insight, and for a propelling forward in the ways that you would have us walk, Lord, because you do bless our way as we walk forward. And we thank you that we do, that you do that for us. And we thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So I love how in this verse 6 it says, the Lord embraces their paths as they move forward. I love it because I think sometimes we think we need to be waiting for God to tell us the exact move to make and then we can make it. And I was teaching relevant to business and sales and that sort of thing just before this, and I was referencing a similar kind of concept. And an example I was using was, imagine if as a parent you just say to your family or your kids, sorry guys, no dinner for now because we're just waiting on the Lord for the menu. So we're just going to be waiting. Haven't had a clear message as of yet, so we just won't be having dinner for now. Maybe in winter. We'll see how we go. I'm waiting on the Lord. The Lord will tell me when it's time. I'll get a clear discerning of the Spirit on what the menu is going to be. But at the moment, I'm not sure if it's me or if I'm not sure if it's God. So we're just going to go with no action for now. Until we know for certain, until a banner drops down from heaven, right? Mel's like, yes, where do I sign up? No more cooking every night. No, I know you're actually an amazing cook from what I've understood. So it's just kind of funny, right? Because there's certain parts of life where we do understand that it's too late. You're already in it. You're going to have to take action. And then there's other parts of life where we really seem to get this idea into our heads that being righteous, being holy, being a good daughter or son of God means absolutely do nothing unless or until God literally, like, sorry, little crude, but shoved a rocket stick up your butt somehow and propelled you forward out of the chair. Now, the truth is we shouldn't do anything that's not led by the Spirit. So that feels conflicting or confusing, right? Romans tells us that as many are led by the Spirit of God, so too are the sons and daughters of God. We're led by the Spirit if we're a child of God. Well, I know that I often feel like I'm not sure if that's me or that's God. And it's one of the primary questions that I get asked online every single day without fail from clients, from people in my programs, in my DMs, you name it. And what actually happens out there, 2 Timothy 1:7, did I get that right? We'll Google it. I've got Google right here. 2 Timothy 1:7. Check your scriptures. Yes, I did. 2 Timothy 1:7, we're going to add that to the list. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Everyone knows this one, whether or not you knew where it's at. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. I reference that because what I was about to say is what happens a lot, and I know I've done it. I know everyone's done it. Everyone, right? I know some of you might be in a pattern of doing this, and tonight can be the night you hand that over to God and repent, because why would you not repent? Repent for not trusting, repent for not declaring that you are led by the Spirit. If you are saved, if you're not, no, sorry, you're not led by the Spirit. You need to actually give your life to God and have a conversation around salvation, and we can do that. You might be led by some kind of a spirit, but I did say we wouldn't speak too much about the wicked for now. So we'll focus on where we want to be, right? The thing is, the reason I mentioned the scripture around spirit of fear is we get scared of getting it wrong. We get scared of making up our own ideas instead of doing what God would have us do. We get scared of being disobedient. We get scared of, I don't know. Think about it. Where does it come from? What are we scared of? Are we scared of getting in trouble from an angry father because maybe we had that growing up? P.S. I didn't have that. That wasn't my childhood experience, but I know it was for a lot of people. Yep, some people here. I would be scared of not getting A+ because I was super perfectionist as a child. And if I got an A, it was like, what went wrong? What happened? What went wrong? Where was the plus? 98%. What happened? What went wrong? So I had, and I still recognize this pattern, an underlying fear of not getting it perfect. And it needs to be perfect. And if it's not perfect, then you suck. Basically, you're a failure. So that might be my thing. That might be someone else's thing. That might be several people. And then others might be like, well, I don't want to make any move because maybe you had an angry parent or maybe you have anger somewhere in your life at the moment and there's the eggshell situation and so we're worried about getting it wrong. Or it's something else entirely. Maybe it's the fact that, and this is me as well, and this is, I know many of my clients, many people I know, many of my friends as well. I know I spent many years doing things in my own will and way and hiding from God and avoiding God and in some cases being directly disobedient, although I would have copywritten that into different terminology and said that I wasn't, but that's what was happening. And I want to really make sure that I'm being obedient. It's very important to me to be obedient to God. It's my true heart desire. I have zero interest in a life outside of that. And if you couple that with the perfectionist thing, then it's like, sometimes you're like, well, what if I'm accidentally being disobedient? If I'm not 1,000,000% certain that this is my 100% mark obedience to God move to make, then maybe I won't make it just in case and I'll wait till I'm sure. You know? Or for somebody else, like I said, it might be like, but if I get it wrong, he's going to be angry and then he's going to punish me and then I'm going to get in trouble and I'm going to get whatever. Or whatever else comes up for different people, right? I just use those two examples. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. It's not an arbitrary power. He's talking about, Paul's writing this and he's writing it to Timothy, but he's talking about the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. So we don't have a spirit of fear. We often say the scripture, we say, he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. I like to insert the words spirit again. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. Because that helps me to remember that the power, love, and sound mind bit are not random lifeless ideas or concepts from God that are somehow hinged upon my own capabilities. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of power, which means it's alive and it's not me. It's a spirit of love, which is alive. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and not me. A spirit of a sound mind, which is the mind of Christ led by the Holy Spirit. And so it's not me. So it's not, oh, okay, no, I know I'm not meant to operate from fear. So it's not a spirit of fear. I'm meant to operate from power. Yes, queen, boss babes, let's go. I feel embarrassed and I'm like so amused at my own jokes, but it's because they're a surprise to me. I never said that before. It just comes out. It's a gift that God gives me. So then I'm like so delighted at my own humor, but it makes me look like the biggest wacker. I'm just like laughing at myself. All right, but I never thought of that before. Right? But I think that's what we do. Like, okay, must not be scared. Not going to be scared. Being righteous and holy is not being scared. Okay, it's being empowered. Yeah. You know, like, let me get my, like, Wonder Woman, you know, photo on and, yeah, queen up with all the other self-empowered humans online who are quickly going to figure out that that's not the thing. And then love a sound mind. Yeah. You know, like, let's take the sound mind bit. Like, okay, sound mind means I must like think right, articulate right, be clear, be sure of myself. Actually, it doesn't mean any of that. It's a spirit of a sound mind. It's talking about the mind of Christ. The scripture is talking about the mind of Christ. It's not our own mind. And this is so important. And God is honestly just revealing this to me right now because I've never thought about this scripture in this way and I didn't even have this scripture on my like list for tonight. So I love that. it's so important that when we make a choice that we're not going to operate from fear, because we know that that's not what God has given us. And so we want to remind ourselves, don't be scared, you know, be obedient, trust God, have faith, walk it forward, etc., that we're not trying to figure it out ourselves. He didn't give us that spirit, because that spirit comes from Satan. He gave us his spirit, and his spirit holds these characteristics. So we have them. It's not up for dispute, and it's not based on our effort, because we don't strive to attain the Spirit of God. We strive to enter his rest, Hebrews 11:4, in which we receive the Spirit of God. And we're going to talk about what striving to enter his rest means in a moment, which essentially, in case I tangent off all over the place and don't come back to it, short version means choosing faith daily and choosing to be empowered by grace and by the Holy Spirit daily. We know it might happen, right? So we don't need to strive to have a sound mind. We don't need to strive to know what the action is to take. We don't need to strive to do the right thing to be blessed or prosperous. We don't need to operate in effort in order to know the correct way forward. And we don't need to be scared of getting it wrong. And what I see, what I come across in conversations, and what I personally experience myself, without actually striving to enter his rest every single day that starts with today, which I love is actually part of the scripture in Hebrews, like God called a day today. It's kind of like every day that ends in Y, sort of an expression that's right there in Hebrews. It's pretty cool. Funny. What I've experienced myself is whatever stuff, like my own perfectionism stuff from the past, and you know, things that I've encountered in my walk as a human, and things that were part of me when I'm not in my identity in God, is, but what if I don't get it exactly right? What if I miss the mark? What if that's my idea and not God's, and I'm scared to get it wrong? And then because I understand what the Word of God says, to whatever, you know, extent that I do, or I understand enough to know that we're not meant to operate from fear, then if I was operating through my human lens, through my natural lens, and not through the Spirit, then what I would do is go, okay, well, I'm not meant to operate from fear, so therefore I will decide what action to take, and I'll choose whatever I think the best course of action is. And I'll somehow like self-motivate or empower myself. Hashtag boss bag, right? Like we were saying before. When in actual fact, there's always, 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 always in God an override to all of our carnal side, which is to say our natural side. And the override is, oh, you actually already have that knowledge. You have that knowledge. You already have the knowledge. You can write down, I already, like whatever situation you're thinking about in your life where you're like, I have no freaking clue and I wouldn't even know where to start, and I'm so worried about getting it wrong, and I'm worried about disobeying God accidentally. I'm worried maybe about accidentally being unholy or unrighteous again, because I definitely did that before and I don't want to go back there. Like I really don't want to, and I want God to know. And then what if he gets angry at me? And what if he thinks that I don't really mean it? Hi, he just already knows everything that's going on inside of you, by the way. So no need to worry like that. God's going to think based on your move that maybe you don't really have a heart for him. He already knows your heart, you know? So all of this stuff is going on, and then you're just like, I'm waiting to hear from God. That's relaxing, isn't it? Don't have to do anything. Waiting to hear. Waiting to discern. Sorry, family. No dinner. Waiting to discern from God. You can't do that. You actually can't do that in any area of life where you are called. Don't turn the word called, and I was teaching on this earlier as well, don't turn that into a big fancy word. It's literally like a propelling. I might have a calling to go to the bathroom, you know, or to get more water. I'm pretty set. Thanks, Mel. Like, let's not turn the word called into some mystical outside of your reach thing. It's whatever you're being called to do right now. Like it or not, sometimes your calling is to put away the washing or to cook the food or whatever. It's not always some massive big thing. Actually, the big thing unfolds by just being on the daily journey anyhow. So, he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. A spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. That means you already have these things. So whatever area you're thinking of right now, you could write down, I do already know, I am certain, the way is clear. I know I'm speaking too fast to write it all down, but you can do your own version, obviously. I am propelled by the Spirit of God. The Spirit leads me. I walk in my Father's ways. I am blessed as I walk forward. I know that some human minds here, meaning any of us, if we look through a natural lens and don't just believe what the Word of God says, some human minds might think, yes, but that will only be true if I make the wrong choice. So we circle back to the same thing that we already just covered. But I know for sure that somebody here is thinking that. Like, yeah, I can believe, or I could get behind, Kat, the idea that God is going to bless my path as I walk forward, so long as I make the right move, so long as I choose right, so long as I hear from him right and it's not me. No, you have the mind of Christ. You have a spirit of power. You have a spirit of love. You have a spirit of a sound mind. You have the mind of Christ. You are his daughter. He's not the author of confusion. Your certainty, hope, and assurance is in him. As many as are the daughters or sons of God, so too are led by the Spirit of God, which means that if you're a child of God, if you've given your life to God by accepting salvation through Jesus, believing that Jesus came to this earth, died on the cross, rose again and was resurrected into heaven, back into being not in human form, back into godly form, and that he did so for all of our sins. If you believe that and you believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth and you say, Lord, forgive me, come into my heart, I accept the free gift of salvation, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. You now are a child of God. It means you have the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a baby Christian or you're a returning Christian who's not even sure which way their own head is on anymore, which was me at one point when I fully came back to God, even though I like theoretically knew it all, or knew enough at least. If you're new or you're just returning to God, sure, there's tons of stuff that you don't know and you're not sure, and you maybe are a high achiever type of a person and you want to know and understand it all, and so you have a hunger or a desire and you definitely want to get it right, and you have a rightful like fervor or eagerness to understand the ways of God and to meditate on his word and have his word abiding in you and all of these different things. But in the meantime though, you do actually already have the Spirit of God. As soon as you're saved, you receive the Spirit of God. You might not have received all manner of spiritual and supernatural gifts as of yet that he will impart to you over time. So you might not be out there speaking in tongues or operating actively in a spirit of discernment or the prophetic or whatever supernatural gifts it is that the Holy Spirit is going to impart to you. You may or may not. Some people receive those, receive like a whole host of supernatural gifts straight away when they're saved, and others don't. Some people come out of the baptism tank, all sorts of things are going on, and they just have immediate deliverance and they're speaking tongues and all things and they're seeing and knowing, and others don't. But either way, you have the Spirit of God. The way that that is worked out, so to speak, in your life is a lifelong journey anyhow for any of us. So you could encounter a lifelong Christian or somebody who's been a Christian for decades and is very strong in their walk in the Spirit. You know, they're not a passive Christian. Like, they are on fire, they are walking in the ways of the Lord. That person themselves, actually, if they are that kind of a person, is going to speak about the fact that they're like a child in their walk with God. And they know as much as a child. And they're humbling themselves daily before God. And they're just excited and they have a fervor to know the mysteries and the wonders of God as though they, you know, like, know nothing. But then we might look at somebody like that and be like, oh my gosh, that man or that woman is so anointed. You know, they have such a strong relationship with God. They have such an intimacy with God. They have such a confidence and a certainty in how God leads them. Their faith is so incredible. I wish I had that. I wish I was like that. Or I wish I was, you know, that elevated, basically. Now, look, you can simultaneously be inspired by somebody who is walking so strongly with God and they're a great role model and a great example, or somebody that in some way instructs you or mentors you or keeps you accountable. And also, though, you have the exact same Spirit that they have in you. And the Spirit's working, the Holy Spirit's working through you, is not dependent on how many years you've been a Christian, on whether or not you're running your own Bible study, or whether or not you've preached a million sermons in the best churches in the world, or whether or not you're a multiple times over New York Times, you know, Christian bestselling author, or any other, or you're raising people from the jolly dead. Either way, it's the same spirit. Yeah. Same spirit. His power is not limited or, you know, elevated based on the efforts or the, like, gold stars collected of the Christian. However, the power of God will work through you dependent upon your faith. The power of God is not limited and never can be. But whether or not you allow God to work through you and to what degree he will do so is going to be dependent upon your faith. Jesus said, according to the measure of your faith, it will be given to you. So you have a little bit of faith, you receive a little. You have a lot of faith, you receive a lot. Now, the scripture that I referenced before, which is Hebrews 11 verse 4, speaks about striving to enter his rest. Be diligent to enter into the rest of God. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So it actually talks about effort. It talks about diligence. It talks about striving. And it's referencing salvation. It's referencing entering the eternal rest of God, meaning salvation, meaning your eternity is secured. But in Hebrews chapter 4, it goes on to speak of that God named a day today and basically spoke about that day being the day that we should pray for our hearts to not be hardened, and that we should pray for faith, and that we should walk in faith and strive to enter his rest. And the wording literally says he named a day today, and the day that he named today is the day where you should do that. I don't know why I find that funny. There's quite a lot of scriptures I find quite funny. I just think God has a great sense of humor. Any day ending in Y, all right? And so what it's talking about is, well, we have to make a choice to have faith. That can feel really hard because we actually have to come out of our natural, our own way and will, and we have to enter into a different world, a different realm, a different kingdom in a different way, as I say all the time in the tagline for The Secret Garden, which is my membership, which you should be in. There's a different kingdom in a different way. There's a different realm. So when we start to live as a child of God, we're now led by the Spirit of God, like it or not, and I think we freaking like it, but what I mean by like it or not is, it's not maybe. It's not if you got the gold stars on the chart right. It's not if you, like, worried and worried and worried enough to make the right move or to be the perfectionist child of God or whatever, which is, no, it's not that. It's not then you're led by the Spirit of God. You are led by the Spirit of God. That's what that whole conversation was about. And I want to say this later, but I might go off track. So declare it over yourself is what I was getting at with that. Start to say, I am led by the Spirit of God, because the scripture says that we are. It says we are. It doesn't say if you get it right. It doesn't say if you understand. It says you are. So you're not going to understand that if you're in your own mind and emotions. So don't worry about trying to understand it. Just say that you are. Thank you, Lord, that I am. Thank you that I am led by your Spirit. Kids, guess what? Good news. We get to have dinner. I don't need to wait for, you know, a banner to drop down from heaven and tell me, or a sign to pop up on the television that says chicken tonight. I'm just going to trust that I am led by the Spirit of God. Now I'm cooking gnocchi, whatever it is, right? Honestly, life can be that simple. And what does it depend upon, though? It depends on our faith. It depends on our trust. So when Hebrews 11:4 talks about striving to enter into his rest, it's talking about the fact that in our mind, in our emotions, in our own natural ways, in our own natural will, there's a battle there. There's a wrestling. Do I want to believe this? Do I believe it? Am I willing to believe it? Do I want to hand over my own will and way? Now, look, some people have an encounter in their spirit when they come to know God that just overrides that. And it's just a certainty that they're given. And a lot of people don't have that, though. And either way, even for the person who you might think, that's so lucky. Why did they get that? You know, why did they just get, like, an angel appeared in their bedroom and they knew that God was for real? How cool would that be? Well, I have a few friends who've had angels in their bedrooms and it was freaking intense and terrifying. So they say. But, you know, like, I just think, how amazing. And why do some people just get an encounter where they just know straight away in their spirit? That seems a little unfair in some ways. But the thing is, never mind. Doesn't matter whether or not you ever have that kind of supernatural encounter. Even the person who has that has to strive on any day that is today to stay in faith. It's a daily choice to stay in faith. The chapter of Hebrews 4 is talking about the fact that many people fall out of the righteousness of God because they fall away from that striving to enter his rest. They stop believing. They turn away. They harden their hearts. They go off back down their own path, which nobody can kick us out of the hand of God. God is never going to kick us out of the hand of God. He will never leave or forsake us, but he's not holding us hostage. We can jump out of the plane if we're crazy enough to do that. We can decide, no, I'm going to go a different way. And the only reason why we would do such an appalling, terrifying, horrific thing would be if we were not daily choosing faith. If we were not daily, as the scripture says, striving to enter his rest. The striving bit, whether you like the word striving, other translation, diligence, it's being committed. It's being consistent. Diligence is a great word because it speaks to lots of different things in our day-to-day life where we do it, whether or not we feel like it. We each have different things like that. Some of us might disagree with other people's habits about what they're diligent about. Some of us think we need to put the dishes away. Some of us don't. Some of us think... We had a conversation yesterday about this. Some of us think it's a normal thing that you would diligently do no matter what. Other people will leave it there. Some people will put their clothes away always. Other people will leave them there because they're probably going to wear the same ones the next day to the gym again. So why bother putting it away? Anyway, we all have our different things that we're diligent about, right? Some of us are diligent about our fitness or how we track our finances or that we do actually cook dinner for our family or whatever, or at least make sure that there is some kind of food or whatever it might be. And we don't do these things based on emotion. We do it because we just understand that it's a part of what we do each day. Hopefully we can think of some examples that are a little more exciting than the dishes and whatnot, but you get the idea. And that's what a walk with God is. It's not always easy. We don't always feel like it. Sometimes it's just like completely feels unglamorous to choose that again, because sometimes, honestly, like prayer life can feel like humdrum. It can feel like, this again. I'd rather like gossip with my friends right now, or do I really have to still do this? Or I'm just not feeling it maybe to read the Bible, or I want to have a little pity party maybe, or I'm just like being pulled or distracted or tempted or swayed by something in some part of life, and maybe I'm going to put my focus there. That's what striving to enter into God's rest is about. So no, and I choose that I am led by the Spirit, but it's not that I choose that I have to work in order to receive the Spirit or in order to receive God's grace or in order to receive his provision or blessings. These things are a byproduct of the fact that I am a child of God. And look, I don't mean to be implying that if you don't like make sure that you do all these different things every day, then somehow you're not covered by God. That's not what I mean at all. We're going to have days where we're just completely wandering off to our own devices. There's consequences of that we're just going to see, feel, and, you know, that are going to affect us. So we get our, result of that. But it doesn't mean you're now not a child of God. It doesn't mean you're not led by the Spirit. It doesn't mean you're not under his covering, protection, and provision. But the reason that there's an entire chapter of the Bible about this is because if somebody's on repeat not choosing faith, well, they are at risk. And that's what this verse says. They're at risk of falling away. They're at risk, and we don't know where that point is for any of us. You could stay in like a mediocre version of a life with God for decades, perhaps. I mean, why on earth would you do that? But you hypothetically could. People do. But we don't know where the line is for each of us, where we might actually fully wander away. And it's also the fact that we are meant to be decreeing and being a voice for heaven on earth. We're meant to be the voice of God on earth. That's meant to directly affect our own lives as well as the lives of everybody else, literally everybody, because we're all part of the kingdom of God and each person matters. And so it has to be a daily diligence, I choose faith. Thank goodness I chose faith, because I have the option to spend my day trying to go about my so-called business through my own efforts and my own ways and my own will, And that's just like butting your head up against the wall. It's not operating from a place of choosing what is already there, which is being led by the Spirit of God. And we're allowed to do that. We have the choice. It results in what Ephesians calls dead works, which means it has no spiritual life. There's no point to it. It might have some sort of, you know, so-called result or point in an earthly sense. But if we live our lives that way day in and day out, we start to have a very serious problem. Now, I did say that we weren't going to talk about the wicked too much. But the actions of the wicked, coming back to Psalms chapter 1 right now, the actions of the wicked is they are like chaff or chaff. I don't actually know the right word. Chaff? Okay. Bits of leftover wheat that nobody wants. They are like bits of leftover wheat that is not the good bit, blown away by the wind. They're just blown here and there. There's no direction. There's no guidance. You know, Jesus is the rock. He's our foundation. Oh my gosh, who remembers that old song? You must remember this song. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I go to the... Yeah, anyway. All the old songs. So people who are not living in accordance with, well, God, not being led by the Spirit of God, who are outside of the hand of God, meaning they haven't chosen salvation, that's what it means by the wicked. It means they're not the children of God. It doesn't mean like it's like a naughty child of God. That's not what wicked means, because any of us can wander all over the place and be a child of God, and that's what we just talked about. You don't know where that line is where you wander right out. But if we use this as an example, those who are not righteous are blown away. They're blown away by the wind. They're blown here and there. There's no foundation. There's no structure. It says right here that nothing they do will succeed or endure for long. So it means it might for a while, it could look good. It might even feel good in some sort of a way. Nothing they do will succeed or endure for long because they have no part for those who walk in truth. And it goes on to say that their way leads only to doom. The thing is, when we have lived that way, for those of us who've lived that way, which is most of us, some people really did make a decision for God very early on and they stuck with it. So they have been righteous, theoretically, their entire life. But it was still a choice, because we're all born into sin. But most of us as adults, what I'm getting at, have had... you know, like some contrast there. And we know when you're in that, you know it's leading to doom. You know it because it's like a movie where the doom music comes over and you know something bad is going to happen. And you can feel that in your life when you're off track. You know, it'd be helpful maybe if there was some music so that you really knew that something bad is going to happen. It's not the Truman Show. But we do have a knowing though, right? Like there's an awareness there. You're walking down the wrong path, like dum, dum, dum. You can feel it, whether it's a relationship, it's a business move, even a friendship, or maybe even how you're spending your time. Maybe it's your free time. Maybe it's the scrolling. Maybe it's something untoward that you're consuming. And you know this is not leading any good place. You don't need to read the Bible to know that, but I would read the Bible and know it. How different it is for the righteous. The Lord embraces their paths as they move forward. He embraces our paths as his children as we move forward. In fact, it says that we stand firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design. Not a random tree, not a tree that accidentally popped itself up there. A flourishing tree that was planted by God's design. Deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, flourishing river, I think it says in the New King James, rivers of water, sorry, bearing fruit in every season, bearing fruit in every season. So why are we worrying about, I'm getting it wrong maybe right now, or maybe what I'm doing right now is not working, maybe it's not leading anywhere, maybe it's not paying off. I have this worry as a parent. Am I doing anything that's really like good discipleship of my children? Is anything I'm doing making an effect right now for the long haul? Sometimes you just like literally it's food and shelter and life and the day to day of it. And then you go, oh my gosh, am I doing enough? Is it working? Am I planning the right stuff here? Many people do this in their business. Is it really working? Is it going anywhere? Is all this content doing anything? Am I doing the right content? Am I doing the right offers? Am I doing whatever? Or maybe in a relationship, I don't even know like if I'm showing up properly for this thing. But actually, if you're a child of God, you are. Because it says right here that we're never dry, never fainting, ever blessed and ever prosperous. It says we stand firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by rivers of water, bearing fruit in every single season. And it says the Lord himself is embracing our paths as we move forward. So we're not getting it wrong. We're not missing something. We're not accidentally wandering off being disobedient. We would know because it would be a choice. We would be in a choice against God. And the Holy Spirit will be convicting us in our spirits when that's happening. And sure, sometimes it takes a minute to catch that, but we do know. And when we're looking to God, we've chosen a life in God, we've surrendered ourselves to God, we've accepted Jesus into our hearts, and we're living that way in whatever form that looks like each day. It's not about how much time you're spending reading the Bible or praying or any of these different things. It's a heart posture, it's a choice, it's where you're looking. Then you're actually going to have to learn, and this has been a really hard one for me, like one of the biggest ones, and I keep handing it over, but you're going to have to learn to trust that you are making the right move. And if that is the move that you made that day, you're also going to have to trust that that was enough, because the word says that you bear fruit in every season. It doesn't say you bear fruit in every season dependent upon whether you got A+ or whether you didn't accidentally do something that wasn't God's favorite move, because you're going to do stuff that's not his favorite move. But that's what operating by the Spirit, covered by the blood of God, is about. By the blood of Jesus, Son of God, is about. You're going to miss the mark, but at the same time, when you're in God, you're not missing the mark. You know, like, how cool is that? And I don't even know how to fully articulate that further, because I know that we definitely miss the mark. I know that there's definitely times where we look back and we're like, oh, I really thought God said that, which I was telling everyone, and now I'm like, I think Trina said that. But then again, maybe God did say it and there was something I needed to see, know, or understand, and it just led to a different outcome to what I thought, you know. But either way, yeah, we know that we're going to miss the mark. We know that we're going to be disobedient. We know that we're going to be stubborn at times. We know that we're going to get distracted or derailed or swayed by temptation or whatever it might be. We're definitely all going to keep sinning. None of us are going to be perfect until we leave this life. And at the same time, though, if we're in God, we are led by the Spirit. We do have a spirit of power. We do have a spirit of love. We do have a sound mind. We have the mind of Christ. We are the children of God, so therefore we are led by the sons, by the Spirit of God. We are ever blessed, ever prosperous, never dry, never fainting, and the Lord himself embraces us as we move forward. As we move forward, not if we stand still and wait till he bumps us on the head and tells us what to do. It's so important. I think one of the biggest ways that Satan derails believers and those who have a heart for God, and we're not even trying to be out there doing some crazy, you know, stuff that's going to screw our lives up. There's ways that if you're in that season, let's get you out of that season. But there's ways that Satan derails in all different seasons and for all different types of people. And I really think that one of the biggest ways that he derails believers, and especially those of us who are like high achievers or go-getters or perfectionists or anything like that, is convince you that you're going to get it wrong. Convince you that God is going to be angry with you, that if you do that, you might not be being holy or righteous. You might be getting it wrong. You need to wait. You need to stop. You need to be still. Now, the Bible does say, be still and know that I am God. So that could seem contradictory, but actually that is about knowing and trusting that you are hearing from God, that he is there. And yes, sometimes in a literal sense, it means freaking stop and sit down. But we're meant to be moving forward. We're meant to be putting our hands to something. We're meant to be taking some kind of action. We're meant to be operating from the rest that we've entered into, which is eternal salvation. That's our rest in Christ. But there's a day-to-day version of that. And the day-to-day version, the bit that's for today, is the bit where we have faith, we know that we have the Spirit, and so therefore we live our day. we live our day. We don't live it like it's one that we can check off where it didn't matter too much if we just kind of like got through the day and we're somehow kind of like waiting for the new day because maybe that's the day when the revelation comes. Maybe that's the day I get, you know, a prophetic word from someone. Maybe that's the day I get, you know, an angel encounter in my bedroom. So let me just kind of like low-key it today and do the bare minimum or do the careful moves. Actually, and we're not going to go into other scriptures on this, but you could go and do your own research if you wanted. But actually, that will come under the description of wretched fools and sluggards and wicked people in general, right? Like, or the servant with the one talent that buried it. That's what that reminds me of right now. So we're actually meant to be taking action. We're meant to be moving forward. It's a myth and a lie. It's a lie of the devil that you don't know the action to take because it's not up to you. It's not about your mind. It's the mind of Christ that's in you and it's the Spirit of God leading you. So that does mean for some of us that we have to develop a habit, a pattern, an accountability, and that we ask God to equip and empower us in all of that. We don't try and muscle up on it ourselves. But there has to be a decision. Maybe the striving bit for you is striving to enter into the bit where you trust God to be God. It's not even about trusting yourself to hear right. This is the thing, right? There'll be people listening to this who are worrying, but I can't trust that I am hearing from God. I get what you're saying, that He leads me and I am led by the Spirit of God, but I might hear wrong. It's not about that. It's trusting that you do hear, you did hear, you're trusting God to be God. You're not trusting your mind to hear from God correctly because you're hearing through the Spirit and it's your declaration and your agreement with what God says in His Word that will cause its effect in your life. So actually all you got to do is just agree. And I certainly don't mean arbitrarily for anyone watching or listening who is, you know, like, not in a relationship with God and you're wanting to understand more about that. But even that point, when it comes to the point, you're not going to understand everything about it. But whatever way it is that God shows it to you, you're going to understand enough to go, I don't want to do this myself anymore and I'm sick of trying to figure things out. And so I'm going to choose salvation. I'm going to choose being led by the Spirit of God and I'm going to choose heaven on earth. And I'm going to come to understand and know more of what that means as I walk forward. Because the Lord embraces the path of the righteous as they walk forward. So, this is some cool stuff. Every day, I wrote down before, every day called today. This is about staying in God. But it's not about staying in God through your efforts. It's not about knowing the move through your efforts. And it's not even about trusting that you hear from God through your own so-called ability to trust. It's simply saying, but I do. And this is the thing I'm going to put my hands to. This is the thing I'll pick up. This is the step forward I'll take. And honestly, if you ever feel like, but I can't and I'm so scared and I'm not sure, please just remember the dinner analogy. You wouldn't tell your kids if you had them that they're not having dinner tonight because you can't and you're not sure and you're worried about getting it wrong. You'll just freaking choose something and it's going to be good enough. And that's maybe not our overall way that we would want to like sum up a life with God. It will just be good enough. But it's about the fact that if you're led by Him and you're planted in Him, you got to have to let go. And don't you want to let go and surrender and just know and trust that He is leading you, whether or not it's in an overt, obvious, like supernatural encounter sort of a way, or whether it's by the simple fact of how you live your life. That's the thing. I think sometimes we're so wanting to have a supernatural encounter or a real, you know, big knowing. And that is like so cool. I love it. And actually, I feel like I hear and receive a lot from God in that way. But as I was saying to some clients earlier, it's such a minute percentage as compared with all the other times and all the other days where I'm really just doing the best I can, but it's not the best I can. It's trusting that I am living a life led by God and just knowing that that is true in the parts that feel unglamorous or just very everyday, or where my mind might be having a whole circular story about whether or not I'm getting it right, and maybe I feel confused in that part of me, but yet I'm trusting that I am walking by the Spirit. So I would love to know, because we'll talk about this now here in person, so for those of you who watch online, I'd love to know what most spoke to you. Do you have any questions, any comments? Please leave them on the replay. If you are listening right now on live, wait till it posts as a replay, because otherwise I'll miss your comment and it will be deleted. It gets reposted as a reel, as a replay. And we are going to pray to close. So Lord, we just thank you as always for this time together. We thank you that you do impart what you would impart to each of us. And we thank you that you do it in a way which speaks into our spirits and it filters through our soul, through our mind, our will, our emotions, and it affects our lives. And Lord, we thank you that it is for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that you have ordained that heaven should be enacted on earth and that we are your voice here on earth as believers. So Lord, I just say that we operate rightly in your ways as your voice. Lord, I thank you that we are never fainting, never dry, that we are always prosperous, we're always blessed, that we are a flourishing tree planted firmly in you by the rivers of water, living water, in fact. And Lord, I thank you that we do bear fruit in every season, and it's not maybe and it's not conditional, but as your children, we do bear fruit in every season. Lord, I thank you that you embrace our way as we walk forward. And I just thank you as well that you equip us to walk forward. So Lord, I just pray that you would give that equipping and empowerment to anyone who needs it, for that person to know that they can walk forward and it's not something that's led by their own abilities or even by their own somehow harnessing of trust or of decisiveness, but in fact that they can start right now today to speak your word over themselves and to just say that this is true and to come into agreement with it, and it's not dependent on feelings. Lord, we just thank you that you're always speaking to us and that we hear your voice. Your word says that we know your voice. And so I say right now that we do know your voice, that we're hearing, even when we think we're not hearing. And we just pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So for anyone here, if you don't have a relationship with God and you would like to have a relationship with God, what that means is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Son of God. It doesn't mean talking about God or including God interchangeably with words like universe or source, or it also doesn't mean believing in God but not making a decision to live according to what God says about a relationship with God. So a lot of people believe in God, but that doesn't necessarily mean they understand relationship with God or that they've chosen it. And believing in God doesn't get you any closer to God than the demons are, because the demons believe in God as well. So how God says we can have a relationship with him, which does result in having the power of the Holy Spirit in us, in having just absolute security in our eternal salvation, but also in a way of living that is truly prosperous, blessed, exciting, amazing, supernaturally led and guided, like honestly just the best thing ever. I don't know what like church trauma or religion trauma or people trauma that people here have had, but I know there's a lot of that. I just want to say that wasn't God. That wasn't God. Relationship with God is what he says it is, and it is a completely personalized, individualized, unique thing that has nothing to do with stuff that may have gone on previously in churches, in religion, or through people in your life where all sorts of stuff was said and done in the name of God. I feel like this is super important to say from time to time, because unfortunately a lot of people are missing out on relationship with God because of an idea that it means like constantly getting somehow like spiritually beaten over the head and made to feel like a bad person, when in fact it's actually the exact opposite of that. It's actually complete freedom, complete redemption, all of everything just wiped clean. And how that happens is through belief. It happens through faith. It happens through believing that God sent his son Jesus to this earth, that he came as a man, he died, and we're coming up to Easter now, so it's a good season, it's a good time, any time to talk about it. He died on the cross and he was resurrected, came back to life 3 days later, and then he rose to heaven and has been there ever since. Not exactly in that timing, at the exact time that he rose again. He went back to heaven a little bit after that, just to be technical about it. But that he did die for your sins. And so he died and shed his blood to cover your sins. It's about believing that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, and simply saying, I want to follow you, Lord. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. And as part of that, I am repenting, meaning turning away from my own way, turning away from trying to figure it out myself, turning away from it all being on me, turning away from my entire life being something that I need to make sure I get right. And yes, confessing that I can't do it right. I can't do anything without you, in fact, and that I am a sinner. Lord, will you forgive me? Come into my heart. And if you're in agreement with that, you can just say, Lord, come into my heart. I believe, Jesus, that you are who the Bible says you are and that you died for my sins. I'm turning from my sins and I'm asking you to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And the Bible says that the angels are having a party when you do that, and you immediately became a child of God, which means all of these things apply to you already, right now, in this moment. Doesn't mean you know in the human sense what that means or what's next. So if you did pray that prayer, or you want to go through it a bit slower and have a personal conversation of any kind, you're certainly welcome to DM me. My door is always open for that or for any conversation. And I would love to hear from you or just celebrate with you if you did make a decision for God tonight and to be led by the Spirit of God. All right, have a beautiful rest of the day or evening, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for watching. Please leave a comment, leave your questions, and don't forget, life is now. Press play.
Yes, there was another incredible fiery episode of the Faith, Fire, and Flow podcast show. It is my honor and absolute delight and just a blessing to get to bring this to you. I trust that you enjoyed this episode. As always, if you would like more of the spirit-led downloads and just the straight up wake up, shake up in your faith that you need in your business, money, and life, then go to thekatrinarucho.com/podcast. Free gift. See what I made you. And I'm going to pass it over to my team now just to read out a few of our incredible reviews. I so appreciate your reviews, your encouragement, your comments, and just your feedback on this show. And I love to share that with you. Have an amazing rest of the day or evening, wherever you are in the world, and keep pressing play.